The perfect sales thing is never about you. It's always about your customer, helping them meet their needs. And if you solve their problem and help them, it's never about you. And then listen more than you are talking. I need to know what they want. I need to know what their problem is. So talk less than you speak. You don't have to pitch how great your company is. You need to speak to the problem that they have that you can meet.
Joe Graham, how are you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good. We've been rocking it like we were talking about a little bit before. I've been running and gunning all this week and next week. Tomorrow night, I think I finally have a day where I get to just chill. So doing well. I mean, I love the life I choose to live, but it's been kind of crazy.
Dude, 100%. And you're big in sales. I think that's how we met, right? We met through mutual friend, Sean Finnegan. So shout out to Sean Finnegan. They actually just did a really cool Ignition. Their Ignition Live, podcast live event, which was awesome. I think, by the way, I think that's one of the future of podcasting is kind of more of those live events to like bring communities together. But dude, we geek out about sales. This has been on your mind all week. You've been doing a lot of things, dude. What is the, if you were going to tell maybe any salesperson, new or seasoned, if there was one skill that they needed to really double down on in Q4 to move the needle and really succeed, what would that one thing be?
Consistency in prospecting, flat out, because if you have a big enough pipeline, you can weather any storm. People don't like it. Learn how to cold call. Learn how to reach out, outreach, send emails, do the things that actually work for salespeople. The problem is that too many times we get caught up in the one funnel away, one gimmick away, but the more relationships you build, the more networks you build, the better you are. And I just think about this. I think Luc Dupron introduced us first, and then we knew Sean together. So I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, that's right.
Luke gave me the intro. So I always like to try to give people credit where credit's due. Sean Finnegan's a beast. Love you, my friend. We talk all the time. I know. So don't take that out of context, but I just trying to make sure I gave the right person credit.
That's right.
Yeah. Prospecting is the thing that everyone hates to do and everyone needs to do. And if you just do consistently, you win because you have enough people to talk to.
Yeah. And okay, you said something really interesting. So, I mean, my agency that I have is solely based around cold outreach, which I think is super important. Like you said, I couldn't agree more. I think people really need to take their own destiny as far as sales goes into their own hands. And the way that you do that is through prospecting. You said something interesting. This is some pushback that I get when I'm meeting with clients or prospective clients about being in sales. And that is, you mentioned relationship building in the same breath as like cold calling. Can you explain a little bit of how those two things, intertwine or meet together?
Yeah. They both have humans. 100%. They both have humans. So here's the thing. I'm not cold calling to pitch someone per se. I'm cold calling to see if there's a problem or a need I can fix. So if your intent's correct, you're reaching out to someone as a human. So Dalton, and you're going to hear my puppy. Sorry, I got four pug puppies. They're going to bark a little bit. I can't get them not to. But if I'm reaching out to you and I say, hey, Dalton, you know what? I know you're dealing with problem XYZ. So like in internet sales, maybe you're dealing with bandwidth issues or cyber issues or whatever. I'm reaching out to you as a human to see if I can help you. It might be cool to begin with, but I'm reaching out to build a relationship with you to start things out. I'm not reaching out and saying, buy my product because Joe Graham XYZ is the greatest ever. Did you know that we did this? We did that. And I'm going to sell you. And if you buy today, you'll be rich forever. That's not the game. That's the old school gimmicks that make cold calling all bad. But when you call with the purpose and an intent to help, you win. Yeah. That's why I say relationships win or relationships beat algorithms all the time.
Yeah. And I enjoy the idea of prospecting with a different mindset. And that's kind of what we do at our agency, right? It's more of like a marketing effort than it is like a sales effort. Because when you look at like the hard numbers of cold calling, a good connecting rate from when you dial a number to when someone actually picks up the phone, a good connection rate there is probably around 10%, right? If you're hitting 10, like you're doing pretty good. And you're really, and that's indicative of who's ready to talk to you as well. Because when you're cold calling, you're probably only going to convert about 10% of the market. You have another, you know, 30 or 40% who aren't problem aware, who might need your help, but they don't really know what's going on. But you're not going to get those people through a pretty hard call, right? And so when you approach the cold call with what you said, right, which is just a lot of interest, a lot of, you know, creating and inspiring, like just additional call, right? Your goal with a cold call, I think, is more of like a hook to just get some interest, right?
It depends. So I'm old school in the sense that if you pick up the phone, you have time to talk to me. So if I got the guy, I'm talking to that guy right now. I'm not just setting an appointment and going away. And I will never say, is this a good time? Because right then and there, you're giving them an out. But it's all about finding or making it about them. I think the problem is that we have people that given lists. They're told go make calls, but they're not trained on how to do that. They're not talked to about tonality or having what you mentioned, a hook, or having anything that will even help them remotely feel empowered. That's why people hate cold calling. I also will do an email campaign with it because, again, you want to touch as many touch points as possible. And sometimes you leave a message, and here's the crazy thing, dude. I leave messages, and then I'll get an email back. So the cold call worked because I kept touching base and leaving a message.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think if you're only doing one of the approaches, you know, you're not going to make it. I also am in the camp with you, like emailing. I like to email. I like to warm up that list first with an email, and then we call, and then our guys call, because so then we have a little bit of you know, somebody, they know who we are, right? A little bit of that, awareness. And then we add texting to it because I think that, That's always a good thing. Like, not a lot of people are picking up the phone anymore, but they do though. And here's the thing that I think, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. I'm in the school of thought that, like, even if you call 100 people and only 10 answer, I still think that that's a better use of your time than maybe trying to, you know, social prospect or something like that. And I think they all have their place, right? But like, I think we're salespeople, at least in my experience as a leader. You know, you'll see somebody who didn't make any calls all day and you're like, what did you do? And you're like, oh, I was networking on LinkedIn or something. And you're like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, I think you got to do all, but I would rather see 100 dials than, you know, commenting 100 times or something like that.
Well, and you got to know what your role is, what's your job, and what you're trying to do. And you can schedule success. So like you'll see if you follow my content, I post a lot, but I have a schedule button because I have a professional thing. So in the morning, when I know it's not called golden hours where I can actually get a hold of people, I'll do my content and I'll schedule a post for 10 and 12. And then in the afternoon, I'll go and I'll do the comment things. So I'm not against social prospecting, but what is your role? If you're a sales professional, you need to contact clients each and every day. You need to reach out to them each and every day. My rule of thumb is this, either 100 calls or 3 discover calls. If you have 2 discover calls, fine. You can make 75 calls. If you have 1 discover call, cool. I understand the fact that if you're doing something where you're closing, like in a closing role, cool. If you haven't discovered calls, I'm cool with it. Now, if you're just a setter and you're supposed to get appointments, you better be doing 200 to 300 calls a day. I used to do oil and gas sales. All we would do is get on the phone and call because that's your role. So what is your role? What is the context of what you're trying to do? And who are you trying to attack? And then if you have the right list, you win. The problem is that people don't feel empowered to do it at all. They don't know how to get past the gatekeeper. They don't know how to connect with the people. And I think I'm working on a course for this right now because that's the way people go, well, how do you do it? Why is it so easy for you? And I'm like, because I don't care if they say no. I look for it now. I want a no because now the negotiations happened. Or, well, cool. Dalton, is it a no or is it no now or a no forever? When is it? What are we saying here? Is it just not good timing or you just hate my business, you know? And it's just having those conversations that lead you to money. Yeah. And you can make more money than doctors, lawyers, you name it, because guess what? You have an ability to go and solve a person's problem, because I always talk about sales as solve or problem solving, and you win. And you get paid for helping people. It's not a sleazy thing. Sales is actually helping people. And when you reframe that, you win.
Right. And I've always been this is why I love talking to salespeople, especially having you on, right? Is we're in the same camp, right? Like, I think if you treat people with empathy, you know, I've talked about this so many times on podcasts, and you have as well. And I always answer my question. The question I asked you at the beginning, the answer I always give is like, give a shit about somebody else besides yourself. Like, yep. If you do that, you'll probably see like almost immediately an increase, right? And then we can work on the rest, right? Cause I'm not opposed to, like you said either. I'm not opposed to doing something on LinkedIn or social or anything like that. I just feel like people are trying, you know, it's a balance. It's the nuance of like, when do you stop selling and when do you start asking, right? Like, when's the transition? And I think you hit the nail on the head with, you know, just being a person. Cause eventually you're going to get to the point where it makes sense to ask and you just need to go for it.
Yeah, well, and I think too many times people overcomplicate it or give themselves excuses to why not. And sales is sales. You're the secret sauce. You're the one difference that you can make each and every time. How you show up, how you respond, how you care, how you empathize, how you deliver your pitch. That whole thing, you can transform that. Everything else, phone calls are phone calls, emails are emails, offers are offers, asking for the sales, asking for the sale. It's the same process. Right. How are you going to show up and deliver?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And yeah, and that couldn't be more true. How long have you been in sales, Joe? Like, give us your background a little bit, bro.
18 years. So I fell into sales. Oh, nice, I grew up in the country, was working at a pharmaceutical company. They downsized. The only job I could get was a sales job. I had a family. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just do this for a little bit. 100% commission, going from having money coming in to 100% commission. Don't recommend that aspect. But you learn. And like, I've done in-home sales. I've done face-to-face sales. I've sold heavy equipment over the phone. I sold fiber networks over the phone. So like, I've done the whole gambit of it. So I'm an 18-year overnight success. That's what I tell people, because over the past 18 years, I've gotten better each year, to the point now I work for a Fortune 100 company for my day job. And I've won the President's Circle 4 years in a row, about to win it for a fifth year. And it's not like an easy feat. There's a ton of people that I'm dealing with. But success leaves clues. It's just being consistent, showing up, helping your clients. I know I repeat myself a lot, but success is boring. It's doing the right thing over and over each and every day with the known result. Most people can't do it. So that's why most people lose. And that's why you and me make a lot of money.
Yeah, I think so. And that's when you help people, I think everything else comes. I think when you do something, you know, for the right reason, which in this case, if you're selling to genuinely help people and authentically try to bring people value, right? Because one of my favorite quotes, and I don't really care how anybody feels particularly about Grant Cardone. I could share my thoughts on that another time, but one of his quotes I really enjoy is like, you know, stepping out of obscurity and how that's kind of the main thing. And then, you know, when you do the right thing for the right reasons, and then you understand, he says another thing, then you understand that nobody gets the full value of your product until they buy from you. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a job to do. So if you genuinely believe in what you do, you genuinely want to help people, and you can see the benefit to both of those and how those overlap, you're going to be really well off, and people are going to give you money, and that's going to come, and all of that's going to happen. How do you consistently train every day after being in the biz for 18 years?
I'm always leveling myself up. So like, I read books. Like, I've read Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone. I've done the Straight Line System by Jordan Belfort. I've read the Frank Kern books. I've done the Zig Ziglar stuff. Now I read stuff like Atomic Habits or The Catalyst by Jordan Brooks. I'm always leveling up. I'm listening to podcasts. I have a podcast that helps talk about breaking the 100K barriers, called 150K podcast. I think I told you about that. We're going to have you on. But it's just getting 1% better each and every day and then being consistent. I am 100% agree with Grant about, if they don't know you, they can't flow you. Like, I understand that. If they don't know you can help them, great. Now, the intent or the way you sell them when they come into my world's different, because I'm not going to be like, come on, man, and push, because that's just not my style now. When I first started out, like any salesperson, when they first start out, they run into that. But now it's like, you know, I'm in the B2B world. That does not work in B2B. That works in B2C, but that does not work in B2B.
Well, and it depends on the B2C, you know, because like, it just really, you know, because I've been in B2C quite often. Like, that's probably my bread and butter. That's where I started. And it doesn't really work there either, because here's one thing that I like to mention. It's B2B you're dealing with the same people that go into B2C, right? So like a good example of this is like when I sold cars, the guy who bought a $250,000 Benz, like he wasn't a bum. He wasn't, you know what I mean? He was an employer, not an employee. And they didn't work on him either. You know what I mean? So like, it just, you know, we're in a different mode, and you really got to know who you're talking to. And I really genuinely believe that, as you figure out who you're talking to, you're going to get better off. Right.
Yeah. Well, sales has changed. And again, yeah. I'm sorry. I hear my puppies barking. Yeah. I don't know if you hear them or not. I hear them. Yeah. But sales has changed over time. When we first started doing sales, some of the gimmicks, some of the things might have worked. Like when I started sales, we had the flip chart, and we're talking to the people with the flip chart, how great it is, not moved to the tablet and all. Yeah. But the thing that I think now more people have more knowledge, more wisdom. They can research you. They can check your company out. They can do stuff like that. So you have to. No, I'm going to say it this way. You should be authentic. You should be moral. You should have their best interest in mind. And that's how you win in today's day and age. You can't do the gimmick and screw someone over because now everyone will hear about it. We're back in the day, you know, in your little time, I can screw this guy. Oh, a couple of his friends will hear about it, but not everybody, you know? So like that game's changed in a good way.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I think it's changed because everybody kind of gets it now. And I think one of the main principles of selling is being able to do these like sort of pattern interrupts. And the best way to explain this is one of my favorite kind of things to say. So like when someone says they don't have time, you know, one of my favorite things to say is like, oh, thank goodness, like me either. You know, because it just kind of like it's a little cheeky. I say it with a funny tone but people aren't expecting to say it. And that's the key. Is when you can kind of like just be funny and fun, not, you know, not ever crude or rude or anything like that. But like when you genuinely are like, dude, like, I get it, man. Like, I don't have any time. Like, oh, thank goodness. Like, I don't either. So let's just make this quick then. How about that? Like, or like, anyway, you just do these pattern interrupts. And that's why I think sales is changing so much, because people are just, we're finding different ways to like escape the mold of salespeople. And as we start to expand outside of like normal sales things, the more receptive people are, because again, they want that authenticity, that genuine, that, you know, that genuine human on the other end. And I think it's changing, you know, like you said, for the better. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen? I mean, you kind of mentioned a couple, but is there any like really big changes from when you started to when you're, to now?
I think that it's a lot harder to be fake and screw people, which I think is a great change. You can't do the, well, if I go talk to my manager today, or I can get you this deal right now, or tell you what, man, if you sign by Friday, we can do this. No, now it has to actually be more about the customer and helping them. Gimmicks only work for so long. And I think now especially in the B2B and in B2C world, that aspect of helping people is the key to winning, because what, like right now, and like with the economy and everything, stuff is starting to tighten up a little bit, which is fine. I don't care your political affiliation. That's not where I'm going with this, but stuff's tightening up. Sure. People will be a little bit more picky with their money, which is great, because guess what? Now the fake Lambo people aren't going to be able to trick people. Now the one funnel hackers aren't going to be able to get the one funnel hackers, because you have to generally produce and help out. So if I was going to start a sales job right now, here's what I would do. I would find a company that had a great customer journey and could deliver on what they said they could do. And I would sell the shit out of that. Why? Because guess what? I want to have raving fans. I want to say when Joe sells somebody, everything he says is done 10 times better than even what he said. Because then that way you just begin to build the momentum and stuff. Now, the other stuff, like the straight line system works. I've used it. It's great. You just have to use it with the right intent. Yeah. I mean, NLP and all that stuff works. Stuff changes all the time. Yeah. I think it's just people are more aware and their bullshit meters are up more. And when COVID happened and everyone had to be on like video and stuff like this, you can't fake things the same way as you can in a showroom or other stuff like that. So I think for me, that's just my observation of it. I know I kind of danced around the answer. I didn't give you like, it was just this one thing. I think there's just been a lot of changes with it.
Yeah. Well, and the root of it was just people know now, they see. And that's what I think is super, important to realize too. So one of the things that, you know, and would love to get your thoughts on this as well, right? One of the things that I've stopped teaching and started to teach was the difference, like was how to, you know, how the, or the conversation around objections, right? So mm-hmm. I used to teach objection handling. Now yeah. I'm like, dude, stop trying to handle people's objection. Number one, like they see it from a mile away, right? Like I think you just need to give people respect. So like mm-hmm. a good example of that is like, hey, I need to talk to my business partner or my spouse, right? Like old school days where, you know, you'd, and by the way, I could recite them all off, but now it's like, okay, cool. Like if you're shocked by that, when they say, I got to talk to my business partner or my spouse, you probably messed up way earlier in the deal. Like if you didn't know that they had that and didn't explore that with them already and give them a game plan, right? What I would rather you say is, instead of like, you know, well, what if they say no or all this other crap that people say, you know, what if you just said, Hey, Joe, I know you're going to probably need to talk to your business partner or your spouse. What do you think yeah. that like, what do you think they're going to want to know? And how can I help you approach that conversation confidently? Right? Like, what do you think that they're going to have questions about? And then you start exploring that conversation with them. So when they say, hey, you know, so when they say, hey, yeah, I do actually, I got to go talk to him. You'd be like, hey, I know, no worries. But we talked about, remember, you're going to have that conversation on this day. I'm going to follow up right after that. You have a game plan, because I think when you just start handling things, people yeah. just get turned off.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like what you said there is what I end up doing a lot. So I'm like, yeah. cool. Hey, I know you're going to have to talk with your team, right? You're not the only person who makes the decision. Sometimes like I'm the person who makes the decision. Right? Cool. So when I send a contract over, is it going to be in your names? No, it's in Bill's. Okay. So what questions would Bill have? Address it yeah. beforehand. I don't overcome the objection as much as I'll agree with them. Yeah, dude. Like if I make a big purchase, if it's like a B2C, yeah, I'm going to talk yeah. to my wife for anything over a certain amount too. I got that. So when are you talking with her? That's a fair yeah, exactly. question. She wants to talk to his yeah. wife. Cool. Oh, great. So you're talking to her tomorrow night. So can I follow up with you on Thursday at 12 o'clock PM? Yeah. And I'm going to give yeah. them a set time, because this is the one right. key that people forget. Just give them a set time, because if they agree to that time, they're more likely to pick up. Then I'll just give you a call on Thursday. So yeah, you yeah. don't have to overcome it like right that second. Because if you're building a relationship, you don't go in for the kill right away. You don't go in for the kiss right, or whatever right. you want to take. If I don't know how PG we go here on this show, so I'll make sure I say it that way. But you don't go in for the kill right away. You yeah, end up yeah. wanting to build that relationship. Well, that's a fair question. Great. So right. I just want to, you ask about their time frame. You ask about them, because the old things, they're gimmicky. They don't work anyway. I will literally, if you're doing that to me, will tell you, oh, you're using this close. Great. You're going to try this next. Are you going to go talk to your right. manager? Cool. I'm not talking to you now. I'm only talking to your manager. What? No. Right. And I'll shut up. Because at that point, it's just that power game. Okay, cool. I can play this, but no, it's no, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. And that's why I think that's why I'm such a fan of that whole principle of like, dude, just stop handling it. Like if you know that there's going to need to be a conversation outside of what you two are doing, you just need to bring it up. You just need to, I've heard people call it like, and I don't know who said this, but the principle that I've always referred to it as is the 8 mile principle, which is, you know, at the end of 8 mile, when Eminem does his thing and he wins because he takes all the bullets out of his opponent's, you know, gun. Right. Yeah. And that's what you do, right? You're like, hey, Joe, I love to do it with competition too. Like, hey, Joe, you're probably using XYZ competitors. That's great. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not here to bash anything, but Joe, where there's no difference, there can be no preference. So I'd love to just show you why we're different and maybe how those differences might apply better in your situation. And you're like, holy crap, that's such a different conversation you just went into. But again, it's like what you said at the beginning, Joe, it's like you treated him like a human. You stopped like trying to handle stuff. You just were authentic. You're building a relationship. Cause if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, man. Like, why are you going to waste your time?
Yeah. And then if it doesn't work, I'll refer you to someone that will work for. I do this sure. all the time. Yeah. Like I'll be like, hey, no, I can't help you, but this person can. And I've had managers get upset about it. I'm like, watch this. 3 to 4 months later, I get referrals for better deals because I took care of a customer, didn't get paid on that one, but got paid on 3 or 4 more. Where'd you get that from? Remember that customer I told you about?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's just, I treat it like it's my own business. How would I want to be treated? You should sell how you'd like to be sold. I like right. you to be direct. I want to know all the information, and I want no BS. And I tell people like promos up front all day long. I don't use a promo close. Like if we're doing a 3 month free or we're doing this or that, I will tell them, I say, hey, this is the price. These are the promos. This is the stuff. And they're like, what? I'm like, I just tell you everything up front because I don't do the raise the price, drop it here, do that thing. Cause that's just not good business. Do you want me to do it that way? We can start over. And Norman's like, no, we're good.
I love that too. Yeah. I used to do that. They're like, well, you don't offer discounts. Well, hey, Joe, if it's better for you, I can start up at 8 and we can see how close to 4 we can get.
Yeah.
And, it's just like cheeky. It's that fun. Like, okay, how about we now that we're done with this, like, can we just be friends or whatever?
One caveat. Okay. There's certain cultures that love to deal.
Yep.
And this is not a bad thing. If you don't negotiate with them, they get mad. So like if I'm talking to someone from India or an Indian background or Asian cultures, a lot of times they want me to start higher. Yeah. When I was selling roofing windows and siding, when I would sell a window and the window was $450, right, for the total window, that's what the cost was. I would literally used to try and sell it to me. Hey, it's $450. They would get mad and thought I was cheating them. I literally would start saying, hey, it's $1,000 and play the game because you have to know your buyer, know who you're selling it's to. True. So like there are some different caveats and different type of people, but my rule is 99% of the time, unless I know this is a certain type of buyer, I'm going to just give them the straightforward.
Well, and to validate what you're saying, that happens all the time. And I've been in those calls too, where you're like, well, dude, there's nowhere to go because I'm telling you this is the bottom line. And I had to learn that lesson the hard way. It's just some cultures that they barter for everything. They just, you barter at the grocery store and which is, fine. Like, yeah, let's do it, man. I actually love that. It's fun. Like, for me, I do love to negotiate. It's just fun to do that back and forth kind of thing every once in a while, right? Like, so if somebody wants to play, like, let's just, play with them and then we'll go from there. Just so that everybody knows listening, you're absolutely right. Some people just like that and it's fun for them and they don't know anything else. So we're just going to have fun. But I think the difference there is like, no, they're not trying to offend anybody. This is just what they do, right? This is just how we want to do this. It's like, all right, dude, let's do it then. Yeah. Let's have fun. So
yeah, I like that. It's just knowing your customer.
Yeah. You mentioned something, at least what I got here from, even if you're employed as a salesperson, so not necessarily, as a business owner, but especially if you're, a salesperson, right? And this is where I think training leaders comes into play a lot, but, you mentioned playing the long game, right? Like I'm not here. Like if I'm only here, and by the way, if you're a leader listening to this and you're like, dude, cause you mentioned your story of I'm going to give a referral away and I'm going to take that, what might be considered at that time an L, for something better in the future. Why would you want a sales guy on the floor who just has no emotional intelligence, who just can't read the room? Like you want this person to be like, hey, I can't sell this guy. Let's just be nice and amicably go have drinks or dinner later. And then just bank on this relationship being a long play, right? Cause there's some people we can one call close. There's some people we can't, there's some people we got to play the long game with. Give us just your, thoughts around, and you kind of did, but would love to maybe have you explore a little deeper what that means and how, what that looks like if you're a salesperson trying to play the long game.
Sure. Always put the customer first. Find out if your product actually works for them. If it does and it gives them what they need and it's fair price for them, great. If they can't afford it, don't sell them. If they doesn't fit their needs, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's so simple. It's like if you're moral, if you're ethical and you can help them, sell them. If it doesn't work, great. Because here's the thing. You don't know who they know. I'm in a bunch of networking groups. Mm-hmm. I'm in a bunch of stuff. I saw this old guy coming in, a bib overalls, drive a truck that I thought was going to fall over when I saw in heavy equipment, walk inside. His wife had to walk with him. And the other guy goes, I'm going to talk to him. Like, okay, cool. So I got to watch the new sales guy at the time. This gentleman, if you looked on the outside, you thought maybe he made $30,000 a year, wasn't doing anything, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, you got a big, I think it was like a bulldozer, not a bulldozer, but like a ripper, like the one, like that big piece of equipment where they dig dirt. I can't, my
mind.
Oh,
yeah, like a backhoe.
Yeah, like a backhoe. But this was not a little backhoe. This was like a fancy, I think it was $185,000 backhoe, right? He goes, how much you want for it? And the guy goes, $185,000. I'm like, okay, cool. And they're talking. He goes, well, if I gave you $165,000 in cash today, would you take it? And there was, you know, in those games, there's room. The guy's like, sure. He goes, hold on. Do you want a check? He goes, I can't take a check for that though. And I say, okay, cool. He goes, can I call my banker real quick? He called his banker. It was wired within 5 minutes. Yeah. You never know who you're talking to just because of the outward look. In fact, normally the fancy people that are all dressed up like peacocks, they're what I call fake money. Yeah. They don't have it. They're trying to project something to where we walk in some of the same circles. If you saw them walking down the same street, you would have no idea the amount of money, influence, or network ability they have. So treat them like you would your business, because you don't know back when it's going to come back to you or if there's going to be a different opportunity or something else you can do later on. That's just how I've always done it. And it's worked so much better, because why make $100 and step on $1,000, or why step on dollars to pick up pennies? It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. And that's a good, those are always good stories. Everybody's got that one. Like if you've been in sales any amount of time, I think it's one of the more humbling professions, just because you see that, right? And actually you get to see some of the nuance of the world, which is like, you know, for example, like I know I've been around long enough and in sales groups and stuff like that to know that like people with Lamborghinis don't take pictures with their Lamborghinis. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's just a funny one that I use because people kind of get that. But like, if I ever see somebody with their Facebook cover photo of them in a really fancy suit sitting on the hood of a Lambo, it's not their Lambo and it's not real and they don't have one. Right? Like,
no. I have friends who have really nice cars. In fact, do you know who Tony Wiley is?
No.
Tony Wiley, 365 driven. So he's taken two businesses to over $1 million while he was working a job. And then he has his own thing now, because he like proof of concept did it. He really likes cars, but he doesn't take a picture of himself in front of the cars. He might show the room full of all these crazy cool cars he has every once in a while, but it's not the I'm the Lambo boy, I got this fake jet rented. Okay, fake jet rented. I know you don't own this jet. What are you doing? Don't be fake. And here's the other thing that drives me nuts. Don't buy fake followers. Please stop. Don't buy fake followers. That makes no sense. It ruins your credibility. And guess what? All those fake followers will keep showing up on your thing. So the people you're trying to talk to, the algorithm is going to give you the fake followers that aren't going to buy. So you just screwed yourself out of the deal.
Right. Well, and that's funny too, because it's really easy to tell fake followers again. Like you can almost immediately tell like that. Yeah, those followers were bought or whatever. Those are just a bunch of bots. You know,
I mean? Either they're super pretty women or they are like they have five posts total, or they're like, my name is Tom Brown, 1057865309. You're like, that is not a real follower.
Well, not only that,
new accounts.
Well, and not only that, but like not only could you tell if you like actually dug into it, but you can tell just without digging into it. Like if you have 2000 followers and two people liked your post, you bought your followers. Yep. That's pretty easy, right? Like if you're, there's a benchmark engagement. So that's a good point too, dude.
Well, you still have to be careful there, because they do have groups now that they pay each other and they'll have their bots like your posts. There won't be many comments, or the comments will be promote my stuff, but it's the game within the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You do have to kind of tell, but again, it's just, why don't you just, I know people, genuinely know people who don't have a lot of followers who make a lot of money from Facebook, because they got, or from TikTok or whatever, because the followers they do have are real, genuine. They want to be there. They know why they're there. And so it doesn't really matter.
They built the community.
Now it doesn't really matter. Like if you have 600 loyal followers, that's better than anything. You know what I mean? That's money. And, it's just, man, people's just opinions of how other people should view them, I think, is what's getting us wrong. I do want to come back to one thing. Do you have a favorite book that you would say you would tell a salesperson to read, but it's not directly related to sales?
Yep. Atomic Habits by James Clear. Because your habits determine your lifestyle. Your habits determine everything you do. Your habits determine how you're going to show up. That book is amazing because it's not about sales. It's about getting the right habits to be successful in life. And then here's another little oddball one. And my friend George Bryan gave me the, like, told me about the book. I love it. It's called The Catalyst by Jonah Berg. It's on the mental aspects of how people buy and maneuver and stuff. He's not a sales guy. He's just like a professor that observes how human stuff, like how they change, how people go from not making a maneuver to moving to the middle to buying into what you're doing. So I would say those two books for sure.
Yeah, I like those. And yeah, I'm very familiar with both of them. I love that you can find things because sales is really just a human game, right? It's like, how do we interact with other people? How do we, you know, I'm going to use the cliche there, but like, how do we win and influence people? Right. Like, you know, that class, which, and by the way, that book's great. I love that one, but it's really like, I had a mentor in the car business when I started and he would trick people in the interview, on purpose. And he would say like, why do you want to be in the car business? And he knew that if somebody would, and it was a trick question because it was like a setup. It was like that he was expecting people to say, oh, I want to be in the car business because I love cars. I know everything about cars that you could want to know. Right. And he would, and then he would be have a good teaching moment and say like, well, we're not in the car business. We're actually in the people business. Like, and I've kept that because it doesn't like, and so when I, whenever somebody like will challenge me, like, cause I feel one of my hot takes on sales is that sales is sales. Like if I can, if you can sell a $250,000 Benz, you could sell SaaS. And there's nuances, right? But we're not in the SaaS sales game, right? Or the B2B game. We're in the people game. We're in the human game, right? Yep.
That, well, it is the same because there's always a human element. And it's always the process. There's still the processes. Right. Like, trust, buy. Solve problem. It's it's that's why I say success is boring and it's simple, but it's hard because most people cannot consistently do it over time. So if you can consistently do the right things over time, over and over again, you win.
You win. And I think it's just, I love the Gary V, you know, how Gary V pushes patience so much because it is, it's like, you've got to be patient. You've got to play this game, the long game. You've got to be willing to just, and this is why another hot take of mine. And by the way, I'm going to ask you about your hot takes in, here in just a second. One of my other hot takes is philosophy over psychology. Not that I don't think psychology is important. I just don't think it's as important if you're starting out or if you're in a rut as something else, you know, as like the philosophy of like getting through the hard times, dealing with rejection, dealing with the no's, you know what I mean? Like, I think if you can get your mind right and get a good philosophy around how you're going to approach difficulty, then you can read the big psychology books, right? Then you can understand how to start influencing people because it, anything before that, I just think is a waste of time. Like, you're just going to get in your own head.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what a lot of times people do because they don't feel empowered. So a lot of sales guys are bad and they follow the gimmick or they follow the little quick thing here, a quick thing there because they don't know how to connect. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to relate. They're told if you do this one way, then say it just this right way, they're going to throw money at you. And then they start getting told no. And they're like, wait, I don't like getting told no. No one likes getting told no. Uh-huh. So a hot take for me, if I thought about this, is have a thick skin. Okay. Understand that no now is not a no forever. Embrace no. So find out what the no means. Is it a no, I don't want to be around you at all, you suck? Or no is timing. No, I'm not ready. No, I just don't. I haven't earned that trust. Another hot take is it's not about you. Sales, the perfect sales things is never about you. It's always about your customer, helping them meet their needs. And guess what? You win and make as much money as you want. Ziegler method. I got that from Ziegler.
Yeah.
If you solve their problem and help them, it's never about you. And then listen more than you are talking. I know right now we're two sales guys having fun. We're jamming, talking back and forth. But when I'm on a presentation, I talk hardly none at all. People at my job will be like, how the heck are you gay? I don't even hear you say anything. I just go, because I know what I know. I need to know what they want. I need to know what their problem is. So talk less than you speak. You don't have to pitch how great your company is. You need to speak to the problem that they have that you can meet.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is problem solving, man. It's, and when you overcomplicate sales, you just step into really dangerous territory. You start being douches. And so, by the way, one of my most viral TikToks was when I was on a podcast and I said, I think that salespeople focusing on pain points turns them into douchebags, because if you focus on, if your whole goal in the sales call is to find something wrong and fix it, well, you miss the whole point of the call, right? Like people want to be understood. They want to be heard. They want to be seen, all these things. And I just remember getting a lot of heat for that when I was on TikTok, dude. But I didn't say don't solve problems. I said, don't make that your main, like I said, don't solve pain points, right? I just said, don't make that your main focus. Like everybody know, like for the most part, people know, like, well, you know, that they could be doing better. They just don't want to be told that. They want to, discover that and then have somebody to help them who's not going to judge them. I feel like when you go through that, it's going to be kind of crazy. But anyway, yeah, I rambled there for a minute, but yeah.
No, you're right. It's the intent. Mm-hmm. It's the intent behind
that's
it.
A good
so
point. Yep,
we're going to solve pain points, problems, give them solution, whatever way you want to throw it out there. Yeah. Don't care. You can put whatever word you want in there. But your intent, you mentioned it before, was why am I doing this? Am I doing this to manipulate them to make a decision so I get paid? Or am I doing this to help them solve a problem, which will in turn get me paid, but have it to where it's a win-win for both? It's always the intent behind.
Yeah. That's a really good point. That is a great way of saying that. I probably could have said that better in that podcast, the way that you just described it, which is, yeah, like, are you trying to help somebody or are you trying to like get a check? You know, I heard it called commission breath one time, right? Like people can smell it. You know what I mean? Like they can feel it.
But don't beat yourself up. So salespeople that are listening, we've all gone through it.
Yeah.
Dalton and I have both done it. I'm going to be flat honest. There's been times that I've sold deals when I needed money when I was younger that I didn't understand where I'm at now. Because you go through that process. Because when people get stuff, I'm going to make money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the baddest, whatever, blah, blah. But as you learn and as you grow, you begin to realize, hey, there's someone else on the other side of that keyboard. There's someone else on the other side of that phone. There's some other dad that's going to go and take care of his family. I'm not going to go and try and screw them to get what's mine. There's enough pie. We talked about earlier. It's a mindset shift.
Right.
Are you living in scarcity or are you living in abundance? There's enough abundance out there for all of us to eat, make money, go on trips, and have a party in Hawaii. It's not a big thing. You just have to get past your negative self-thought of, oh, blame game, this or that.
Yeah.
I went on a tangent there now.
Bro, this is why I love talking to my fellow sales professionals, because we get so much out of these conversations. So, Joe, dude, I really appreciate you being on here. Before I let you go, tell everybody what your podcast is, what everything you got going on, plug whatever you need to plug.
Sure. So my podcast is 150K Podcast. I've dropped about 160 episodes so far. That's an easy place to catch me. That's just helping you break the six-figure barriers tagline as we take your dreams six figures and beyond. You can find me on social media at Joe Graham Real for Instagram and TikTok, and then Joe Graham on Facebook, and then Joseph Graham on LinkedIn, because I couldn't get just Joe Graham on Instagram because there's a dude that has 8 followers. And he never posts, but he got Joe Graham before me. So it's Joe Graham and then Real Beyond. Just that way I had something easy to send.
Cool, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you being on here. Thank you so much again. And dude, we'll chat more.
Yeah, for sure. And I need to get you on my show soon too, Dalton. Thank you for having me.